Mother's Day is for all people. Now, I want to re-emphasize this. There's no one here that did not have a mother. We had mothers, or we have mothers. Sometimes we didn't like them. Sometimes we wished we would have had different mothers. But the hard fact is, our mothers were who they were and are who they are, and we are who we are. But with God, we can all be transformed to the mind of Christ. We can be godly. We can become godly. And I think it's in place that we honor our mothers in celebration of the greatest gift God has given us. But we thank God for our mothers, because they carried not only us first 9 months before we were born, and then carried us in their arms, on their laps, and then carry us in their hearts forever and ever. As long as they live, they carry us in our hearts. So we sincerely appreciate all of those who could not even have their own children. It was not their choice, but God saw it that way, and we want to honor them as well. You are most valuable in God's hands. And we need to remember, with God there is no respecter of persons. He values every child, every person, the same. And I keep on saying this to people that come for prayer, that feel down and out. I tell them, look, the Lord loves you the same as he loves me. There is no difference in his love for us. And that's what we actually celebrate in connection with motherhood. Motherhood is more than a full-time job. It's interesting how people often say, well, you know, my mom never worked. So what did she do? You just raised yourself? She never worked. You know how much work it is to raise children? And we have a family here that has 5 children, all under 10. Now, that's a handful, I would say. That's 2 hands full. That's 4 hands full. 5. And we bless you this morning. And those that are little, when the children are small, it feels like, will they ever grow up? And then when they're grown, like next year, our oldest son is going to turn 40. And I can't believe this, because it reminds me of how old I am, but I don't like it. But where has time gone? There was a time we had our sons very close to each other, and I mean, there were days that we thought they would never grow up. And now they're long gone. The time is short. And so motherhood is extremely important. Sometimes mothers ask themselves, is this what I always dreamed of? Is this it? Is this all? I mean, you girls dream of one day getting married. They look at the weddings and they go, oh man, that's so neat, oh, so romantic, so wonderful. And one day, there's mothers that have babies. Oh, I want that too, I want that too. And God places that desire in young people. I say young people because, as I stated before, if it was up to us old people, we would never have kids. And the world would die. There would be no people. It takes young people to have this desire. And God plants that in the hearts. It's not wrong for a young girl to want to be married and have children. I believe that's God's will. For most of you, at least. Not everybody. There are exceptions. And we respect that. We celebrate that as well. But being a mother is not only difficult or hard work, it's also very rewarding. And what I mean by that, it's so rewarding when the little ones come to the mother and say, Mommy, I love you. That's priceless. But today I want to talk about a mother's burden. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the person chosen to carry our Lord and to bring him into this world. She was chosen by God to give birth to the most holy child ever being born into this world. But there was a warning that Mary, as the young mother, received when they were in the temple. This warning came from an old man named Simeon. In Luke chapter 2, verse 34, the Bible says Simeon blessed them. This old man, he blessed the parents, the young parents, with a newborn child. But he said to Mary, this was a prophecy. He said, this child will be rejected by many in Israel, and it will be their undoing. But he will be the greatest joy to many others. And isn't that the truth? That Jesus has been the cause of the greatest joy that we could experience. But then in verse 35, Simeon says, thus the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Now, knowing about Mary, she always considered all the words. She pondered the words in her heart. Everything that was said about Jesus, she pondered those words. She meditated upon them. Even though she may not have understood at the time what they meant, but she took them to heart. And this sword that was going to pierce her soul was most likely, and I believe it was so, when she stood at the foot of the cross, totally helpless, watching her son, whom she had born, whom she had brought into the world, die the agonizing deaths on the cross. That's when that sword pierced her soul. Although she knew God had wanted this, although she knew that it all had to be like this, it was God's will, yet that sword was still piercing her very soul. Mary carried a burden, not only at that point, but throughout Jesus' ministry. She must have been always concerned. Where is my son now? What is he doing now? She must have been concerned when she heard that there's this opposition developing against her son. She must have been hurt when she heard negative things said about her son. And it hurts a mother when bad, untrue, negative things are said about their child. 3.5 years, Jesus had left home and did his ministry, and in 3.5 years, he hung on the cross and he died, and she watched him die. She watched as he could no longer breathe. She heard the words, "It is finished." And then he breathed his last. As a mother, to watch that is extreme. In some places where they persecute Christians, this is what enemies of the cross, enemies of Christians, do to this day. The biggest torture for a mother, for a parent, is when the enemies kill their children in front of them, before their eyes. It's horrifying. What a burden. To be a mother is to carry burdens. Godly mothers realize that God has a purpose for their children. Sometimes they wonder what that purpose is. But if you are a believing, God-fearing mother, you know that all of your children have a purpose, not only a purpose here on earth to be into some career, but to have a specific purpose why God has placed them in your home. This is why it is important to remember these words, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. This is out of the Amplified Version in 1 Peter 5. For a mom to properly carry the burden of motherhood, she must realize that God has a purpose for her child. It may not be a Prophet Elijah type of purpose. It may not be a Prime Minister type of purpose. It may be a specific purpose that their children, their individual child, will be called by God to serve Him in a particular capacity. And that is very important. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob. And here's one thing that we need to realize. You can look this up. We want to look in the next scripture. First, Isaiah 43, 1, and then Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. So have it ready. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, He who formed you. Who formed us? Who created us? Well, our parents did, right? Procreation, right? No, the Bible says God created us. God formed us. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. This is so important to know that God knows the names of our children. Sometimes I forget names of the little kids, especially if I haven't seen their names on paper yet. I tend to forget, or I switch the twins. I switch them off all the time because they're identical twins. And it's difficult, but God knows us by name. He knows the meaning of your name. I have called you by your name. You are mine, says the Lord of hosts. You cannot properly carry the burdens of motherhood unless you understand that God has a name for your child. That name may be in His own understanding, what it means to Him. But every child is absolutely precious in His sight. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. Let's read this carefully here. It's the New Revised Standard I will read. So it may be a little different in your Bible. 139, Psalm 139, verse 13. For it was you, this is a prayer now, you, God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We as adults need to remind ourselves of this over and over. You as a mother and grandmother, remind yourself of this over and over. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It stands solid on God's word. This is the identity that I have in Christ in Jesus. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Satan can do and say whatever he wants. The world can say whatever they want. But I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I praise God who is my creator. He made me. Now, if we live in this view, you cannot help but have a good self-esteem, a healthy self-love. You cannot help but praising God because you see his works in your body, in your life. Well, I mean, except when you turn 80, right? Then it's different. You can't walk anymore like you used to. You can't jump anymore. No, even then we can praise God and give him the glory. Look at this. Wonderful are your works. I'm glad I can still breathe. I'm glad I still have my mind. I'm glad I can still think. My frame was hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, that which the world despises and tries to get rid of. They don't want to call it a baby. They want to call it an it. Just a mass of cells. But God watches every development, every stage of our development, from the moment of conception through birth and through our deaths. He watches our days, and he knows that he has wonderfully and amazingly created us. It's his handiwork. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them were yet existing. Isn't that wonderful? And then the psalmist says, this was too wonderful for me. I couldn't understand this. I couldn't grasp it. There are things, loved ones, we cannot grasp. That's how great God's creation is. He created mothers. He created us through mothers. He was there, active in the creation. And if he knew everything about you before you and I were born, if he knew everything, don't you think he knows everything now? That we can cast all our anxieties and burden on him, and we should never have this attitude, well, God doesn't understand me. He lives in his high glory Disneyland up there, and how could he understand us? He does. Because he is very much involved in our lives. We are his creation. And so, mothers, it was God who knit your child together in the womb. And this is why motherhood is such an incredible joy. When a baby is born, we rejoice. What does the baby do? Have you ever wondered, why does the baby cry when it comes into this world? I don't know why. I haven't found out yet. Why do children cry when they are born? I mean, children cry when they're born, everybody is happy. And when we die, we're happy and everybody cries. So it's kind of changed. That's life. Godly mothers dedicate their children to the Lord. That's one way they carry their burdens to the Lord. They cast all their cares unto him. All the mothers want to believe their children have a unique purpose and place in this world. And it's impossible for a mother to give up on the hopes and dreams for their children. The mothers tell their children, you know, God loves you so much. I cannot even say it in words. The godly mother says to her child, God created you. He sent you here to live with us, with your mom and the rest of the family. He sent you here for a reason. You know, this idea that Satan wants to give to people and say, well, you were born in a very bad family. You were born into a dysfunctional family. You have three strikes against you. You can't even make it. I mean, look, you have all this trouble and you couldn't help it. And you might as well just be bitter and you know, renounce God and die, basically. That's a very morbid type of attitude. But God wants every person, every child to know they are very precious in His sight. Hurting for our children is another way of carrying burdens. And it's a natural way to hurt for our children. When a child hurts, we hurt as parents. It is important that mothers carry the hurts of their children to the Lord. As we heard of the Canaanite woman in the German service, she carried the hurt and pain that her daughter went through to Jesus. She was hurting for her daughter. And she hurt so bad that she cried out to Jesus and she said, Lord, help me. Those three words are the most important words in a prayer of a mother. Lord, help me. Because my children depend on me. I made many mistakes. I did many things wrong, but help me with this burden. Why didn't God make mothers to be 100% perfect? They would never make a mistake. They would never yell at their children. I mean, come on now, you know? Why wouldn't God give children to angels? You know, angels that are just perfect, right? But in a sense, our mothers are our angels. And they do the best they can. And yet, they're part of the human race, of the fallen nature that can really get them to the point of breaking, get them to the point of making mistakes, becoming angry, becoming frustrated. And sometimes mothers then take their children in their arms and apologize to their children. How sweet is that? And you feel like, well, if I apologize to my children, what am I teaching them? Exactly that. You teach them to apologize. Isn't that beautiful? But you hurt with the child. If the child has trouble at school, if the child is bullied, you hurt with them. If the child has a broken arm or an incurable disease, you hurt with them. And that is the burden that we see a mother carries. The concern for their health and their safety. Some children are frustrated when they want to go out and play, they want to go out and ride their bikes. Where's your helmet? You better put your helmet on. You better put your jacket on or you will get sick. And the children, oh, Mom, don't do that again. You're nagging again. I can do it without the helmet. No, the mother wants their children to be safe. There was a mother who feared for the safety of her son. She knew that her son had to walk through the forest late at night. He was coming home. And she feared that something would happen to him. So at midnight, she was so burdened, and she just couldn't stand it anymore. She fell on her knees and cried out to God, Lord, wherever my son is now, whatever is going on now, you see him, you know exactly where he is. Please protect him. And right at that moment, the son later explained, a bear had threatened his life. But all of a sudden, the bear turned away and ran away. It was right at the moment the mother had prayed. You say, well, that's a small thing. That's just a kind of a... No, it's not. The mother ponders these experiences. And I remember when our son was, the youngest son, was very little. We had just moved to Seminole, Texas, and he got very sick. And Ann will remember as I tell this story. We had to take him to the doctor. He had high fever. And then, of course, Ann, having a medical background as a nurse, she looked up things and she said, well, this, according to the blood test and all the symptoms, it looked like leukemia. And I remember we put him to bed and we both knelt down in the living room and prayed for our son. Cried out to God for him. The next morning he was up early. He said, where's my breakfast? I want to eat. I'm hungry. Completely well. I keep telling him this story. I want this story to be with him in the rest of his life. That God healed him at one time in his life when he was young. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully, says the scripture here. I want to close with this poem that I found, A Praying Mother. Somewhere, a tearful mother prays. She loves her wayward child, still caring for her child's lost soul. Once so innocent, tender, and mild, while she rocked and sang a lullaby. Her precious child drifted into sleep, there in the warmth of her loving arms. Only if the child was ill, she'd weep. Those tender years are now gone. Her love is still strong as back then. She's had years to watch her child grow with God's love to love again and again. This dear mother now has a heart to ache. She waits patiently as her tears flow. Kneeling to pray, she talks with God. Her Savior, she wants this child to know. God bless every precious mother who prays. He knows her dear child would never forget those times of knowing when mother prayed. There's peace. God is not finished yet. There's pleasure in every temptation of sin, though it only lasts for a brief season when a loving mother weeps and prays. Her love for the wayward child is the reason. So mothers and fathers, all of us who have burdens for our children, there's one thing that we lose control of when our children grow up. We cannot force them to serve God. We cannot force them to accept Jesus as their Savior. That's a decision they have to make on their own, as we did. But our prayers are valued in God's eyes. Every tear is collected. Every tear is valuable. And one day on that great, great feast before the Lord, the Bible tells us that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The tears you cry today in this life are like seed that is sown and will be a beautiful blossom in eternity forever to enjoy. May God comfort and strengthen you as mothers and all of us as family members in one way or another as we meditate and ponder these words. Amen.